You'd like to have a copy of God's Word. Gentleman a few moments ago suggested that we ought to read the Bible, but thinking maybe perhaps he needs to too, right? But if you'd like to read it, God's Word offered freely, at cost or obligation to you, freely offered, freely received. Word of God, you know, it's two means by which God has made Himself known. One, the creation, preservation, and government of the universe. The other, the second, more clearly and fully known by His holy word that He has given to us, out of a concern, precious care for us and our salvation. Word of God written. God speaking to you out of heaven, that your soul might be saved and that you might be reconciled to God. You like a copy of the New Testament? Do please feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place it into your hands. What a God for Stafford today. That was taken from the Old Testament, which of course is just as relevant as the rest of the Bible. It says, "Now be ye not stiff-necked," stubborn that means, "be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into His sanctuary which ye have sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you. Be ye not stiff-necked, stubborn, as your fathers were." So think, friends, you know, you don't have to be like your daddy was. Don't have to be like your mummy was. They might have been godless. They might have been atheistic. They might have been foolish in their notions. But you don't have to be like they were. You could be godly. You could be a repentant sinner, a believing sinner. You could be a sinner reconciled to God, unlike perhaps your fathers were. So be not, says God, be not stiff-necked, be not stubborn, you know, iron-necked as it were. You know what it is to be stubborn, you know? You learned it from childhood, didn't you? You know how to defy your parents and grandparents? Well, the same way. You defy God, you see. And God, well, He advises, commands you not to be that way, not to be stiff-necked, but rather to yield yourself to God in order that His wrath might be turned away from you. It's a season of grace, don't you know? It's an accepted time. God says still in His Word, a time in which men, of course, can be reconciled to God by the grace of God. In the gospel, of course, only one way, not the watchtower society up the road there, or apostate churches behind me here, but the truth, friends, the truth, as it is in Jesus, the gospel, the good news, revealed to us in God's holy and divine word. The negative is, of course, to cease, to stop being stubborn-hearted, stiff-necked is the phrase, and of course, to stop resisting God and to yield yourself to Him, submit yourself to God, to your best good, to your Maker, to the One who is the overflowing fountain of all good, the One without whom there is no good. Any goodness that you do enjoy in life, well, believe me, it didn't come from you. It came from God, the overflowing fountain of all good. So you're being bidden, you're being commanded, you see, to yield yourself to the One who is good, ultimately good. It is God, if you like, God standing at the door, you know. And of course, well, as the Bible tells us, you know, the time is short, and soon it will be the judge standing at the door, beckoning you into his courtroom, and of course, to give account for all of your life, your being, and even this time when you heard the presentation of the gospel. And of course, the promise is, be ye not stiff-necked. That's the command of the promise, is that the wrath of God be turned away from you. The holy displeasure of God that is upon you because of your fallen state, natural condition in sin, and of course practice that goes with it. So, a willing, a yielding, a willing submission, subjection to the righteous rule of God was meant by the kingdom of God, the rule of God. Repent, he says, Jesus, and be converted. Turn, that is, from your sin, from the rule and law of sin, and to come under the rule, the righteous rule of God in Jesus Christ, his Son. To come under the governance of God, you know, subject to the law of God. You see, it's to be believed and it's to be obeyed. I mean, he's your maker. He is your governor, you know. A chance whether you acknowledge it or not, that doesn't change God, and that doesn't change his position as the governor of all the universe, of all mankind. He does, the Bible tells me, he does as he pleases in the kingdom of men. You're his to do with as he wills. I know it's grating to the flesh, it's grating to natural men who have not been born again. I understand that, you know, that who's God, tell me what to do. Well, that's the stiff-neckedness, that's the stubborn attitude from which he calls you. Under his governance, you know, a willing subjection, yielding to the commands, the law of God, the rule of God. Grating, I know, very grating. You cannot be, the carnal mind is enmity against God, you know, not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. Of course, that's why Jesus says you must be born again, because that nature has to be changed, that grates against the commandments of God, that finds the commandments of God to be not just burdensome, but to be absolutely loathful, hateful. Rather do your own thing, rather live as you please, just as you please, just as you do. But isn't that the trouble with humankind? Isn't that the trouble with the world? Isn't that the trouble that we're in, that we see the apostasy the world over, the encroaching darkness, the developing apostasy? Isn't that what you see? Isn't that the mess that we're in? And you scratch your heads and wonder why. Well, dear friends, because the enmity against God, the lack of subjection to the law of God, the commands of God, because you're not yielded to them. But of course, in order for it to be so, well, you first must needs be born again. You know, the nature, that sinful nature in which you're conceived and born, you come into the world with, you know, there's an anarchy against heaven. Stubborn rebellion against God, defiance against the Almighty. Dear friends, God first must melt your heart, break it, show you the evil, the wickedness of your doings and of your nature, and bring you to that place of crying out to him that he might have mercy upon you, and bring you to that place of being yielded to the law, the commands of God, subject to the law of God, subject to his providence. You're his to do with as he wills. You know, you have breath, you have the breath of life in you. Why? Because God, in his providence, so allows it. He can take it from you in a nanosecond. Your next breath is in the palm of his hands. Life is not yours to give, and not yours to take either. But it is God's. He kills and destroys. He gives life and takes it. So here you are under the governance of God, not knowing it, not subject to it, not in agreements with it, at enmity against God, but here he is, and in his providence, he's got you in the palm of his hand, and you're, dare I say, just like a little puppet, you're his to do with, and dispose of, even, if he so pleased, in his wrath, because of your sin. So you see, what path are you going to take through life? You're going to follow your own counsel. Maybe you'd rather follow the counsel of evolution, Charlie Darwin. Huh? Well, that's got a fine mess, isn't it? Are you any better for your evolutionary thinking? Is it that's led to more and more godlessness in your society? Is the world, is your society, is it any better, any kinder, any more loving, any more gracious, any more forgiving than it was before you embraced all that hogwash that came from stupid Darwin? Huh? And all his followers too. Are you any better for it? Is the world a better place? 49 people shot dead in a mosque in New Zealand today, this morning. Huh? How many more? How much more bloodshed has there to be? Does there have to be civil war in your country before you'll come to your senses? What does God have to do? Bang your head against the wall? No. No, in the gospel he comes to you and commands you, demands of you that you cease from your stiff-neckedness, your stubborn defiance against your Maker, and that you willingly yield yourself to him and to his providence. Come to that wonderful, gracious realization, that you're in the hands of your Maker. A friend of mine had a heart attack yesterday, a major, very severe heart attack. He's in hospital today. Talking to another friend about him, my friend was out of sorts, What's God doing, he said. Well, I said, God's sovereign. Our friend, he'd be a Christian, thankfully, but, he's in God's hands just the same as you are. So what I say to you, I say to myself, you don't know, this could be, who knows, this could be your last day. God, take your life from you today, then where would you be? Take mine too, my friends, our times are in God's hands. His providence, his governance, he calls you to abandon, to repent of, to cease from that stiff-neckedness, that stubbornness that you got from your fathers, and yield yourself to God, to his governance, subject to his law and to his providence. But of course it has to be a subjection that's willing, and that would take more than you've got. That would take more than any man's got, That would take the grace of God, would seem to me, the astonishing, the amazing, the sovereign, the free grace of God that we find in the gospel that does this very thing, It melts and it breaks the hearts of men. It brings them to that realization of just how wicked, how evil, how depraved, how absolutely undone they are before God, without any righteousness, without any hope in this world or the world to come. That's the state, and it's only grace that will alter, it's only grace that will change, That sinful disposition of yours. And then break down that hardness, that defiance, that stubbornness, and bring you to a place of yielding yourself to the Almighty as he requires you to. God has the power to destroy. He's a power, you know, to make you or break you, you know. He doesn't have any need of you. You know, we live in this generation, do we not? You know, people live like, you know, the universe was made for them. The universe, you know, revolves around you. You know, it's the selfie mode, you know. It's the selfie attitude. You know, self, self, self. That's the essence of sin, don't you know? Selfishness. My life, my universe. And everything, let everything and everybody bow before me, the God of self. It's not that you're irreligious or you're all religious. It's what your religion is. It's the religion of self. And it's a stink, it's a stench in the nostrils of God. It's like a filthy menstrual cloth in the nostrils of God. That's your righteousnesses. That's your goodness. Perceived goodness. But then God says there's none good. None that doeth good. None righteous. Not one. Dear friends, you're the hands of God. You're the hands of your Maker. And He does not have any need of you. None whatsoever. Because the universe was not made for you. It was made for God, for His pleasure, and for His glory, and so are you. And let me tell you this, God will be glorified in you, either by your salvation or your damnation. One of the two, but God will be glorified. Cease this God, cease, give up. Be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, But yield yourselves to the Lord, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you. So you see the yielding that's required. Well, reception, you know, of the indictment, you know, the conviction that is, you know. The reproof that God issues, you know, in His Word concerning your miserable and sinful state and condition in which you were conceived and born. You know, we don't like another thing about this generation. We don't like to be reproved, do we? We don't like to be told off. You know, we live in a day and generation, you know, somebody reproves you. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't need to be the street preacher. It might be a school teacher. Huh? Might be your parent. Oh, I'm offended. I'm alarmed and distressed. Please, Mr. Policeman, this is a hate crime. I'm alarmed and distressed. This person has reproved me, told me off. Well, be upset, be offended, be alarmed, be distressed. God reproves you for your wicked, evil state and condition. And He will do more than that, believe me. If you do not find repentance and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ, your end will not be a glorious one. Your end will be a tragic one. So, I bid you, the command of God, be ye not stiff-necked. Turn from that defiance, that stubbornness, and yield. Submit yourself willingly to your Maker, and the one, of course, well, who'll be your judge. By the law comes the knowledge of sin. When you read God's law, summed up in the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, if you'd like to read. It's there that you'll obtain the conviction. It's there that you'll find the reproof. You read those commandments and you see, and mark you please, they were written by the finger of God Himself, not by men. You know, this nonsense that you throw about that the Bible was written by men. No, not all of it. Not all of it. The two tables of the law, the Ten Commandments, God wrote with His own finger. They are indelible. They are for time and for eternity. They will never go away. You might hate them. You might spit blood at the very sound of them. You might defy them. You might stiffen your neck even more. And doubtless some of you will at the hearing of the voice of God. But dear friends, those commandments stand, and they are arrayed against you, condemning you to a man, to a woman, sinner. That's what you are. That's what God's law declares you to be. So what you should be doing is, when people ask you what you are, you should say, I am sin. Yeah? I am sin. I ask you the question. I say, what are you? You tell me, I am sin. I am sin. I am sin. Go about saying it all the day long until you've got it in you, till you believe it. Until God grants you repentance of it. It's law, you see. By the law comes the knowledge of sin. The truth that is about yourself, that you're not a good person. You're not a cool dude, you know. You're not the apple of everybody's eye, you know. You're not good at all. The very opposite, friend. The law of God, those commandments, I tell you, tear your heart apart. That's probably why you wouldn't dare to go near them and read them. But then, of course, without the knowledge of sin, well, no need of a Savior, have you? But that's why you need a Savior. That's why God sent His servants out into all the world, even today, to declare the gospel, that by the gospel that you might be reconciled to God, that you might come to a knowledge, a true knowledge of what you really are yourself, and that you need God's grace and mercy presented to you in Jesus Christ. Reception, you see, the yielding that God talks about, a reception of the only Savior, Jesus Christ. The law is given, you see, to convict you of your sin, to drive you out of yourself, and to drive you to Jesus Christ. The law of God is a schoolmaster. You don't like them either, I know, because they tell you what to do too. Oh, well, they used to do at least anyway. Don't know so much now, but you know the schoolmaster does. Educates you, teaches you the way to go. And God's commands, they're a schoolmaster, you see, to teach you the kind of sinner you are and to lead you, point you, like John the Baptist of old did. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, pointing you to Jesus, the only Savior, the only one by whom you can be reconciled to God. There's no other. Can't come by the Pope, can't come by Muhammad, can't come by Buddha, Confucius, and you certainly can't come by Charlie Darwin. Only one name under heaven, says the Bible, by which we must be saved. Jesus, Son of God, came into the world to save sinners like you and I, that you might be saved. Yield yourself to Jesus Christ. That's the command here. Cease from your stiff-neckedness, your stubbornness, your defiance of God, and subject yourself, yield yourself, submit yourself to the only Savior, Jesus Christ. But that reception, of course, is by faith, and by faith alone, apart from works. Can't get right with God, you see, only but by believing, trusting in Jesus. No flesh shall be justified in God's sight by works, the works of the law. Your charitable deeds, your religiosity, whatever your thing might be. No one ever justified, you know, before God by themselves. Only by faith. Faith apart from works. Faith alone. Faith alone. Faith in Jesus Christ alone, the Son of God alone. Nothing else reconciles a man, a woman to God. Nothing else does the business. Nothing else takes away the sin. Nothing else forgives. Nothing else brings righteousness. to a man, to a woman. Only the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Receiving him by faith, he came to his own. Bible says, but his own received him not, but to them that did receive him, to those that believed on his name, he gave the power to become children of God. Born of God, that is. So you see, it's by faith, friends. Faith, you see. Faith is the hand, you know, that reaches out, you know, to receive Christ. Christ who is salvation. Christ who is the righteousness of God, the power of God, unto salvation. Faith is the hand, the instrument by which you receive the salvation of God. Faith that you need. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I come to you Friday by Friday and declare, not my opinions, but God's word. Foolishness, I know, God says. Foolishness to those who are perishing. Preaching the word of God, foolishness to you. Well, says God, that's evidence that you're on the pathway to perdition. But for those who are being saved, the preaching of the gospel is the power of God for salvation. It's how people come to faith. It's how people believe in Jesus. By the preaching, especially by the preaching of the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Reception, of course. Reception, this yielding to your Maker, yielding to God Almighty. It's in the way of repentance. Jesus began his earthly ministry with these words, repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? He said, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Repenting from your dead works, turning from them, everything and anything, all that you trusted apart from God in Jesus Christ His Son. No, the way. How you doing, sir? How you doing?
I don't know. What? I'm listening.
That's okay. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to me. Repent and believe the gospel, young man. Renouncing all your former lovers, whoever they be, whatever they be. Except you forsake all, Jesus said, and follow me. You cannot be my disciple. Forsaking father, mother, siblings, all your dead works, even your very own self, unless you can forsake, abandon it all your lovers. Maybe for you, I don't know. Maybe it's the pornography. Is that your lover today? Are you willing to forsake the pornography, the filth on the screen? Are you willing to forsake it in order that you might be reconciled to God? Is that your lover, pornography? Or is it the drunkenness? Is the drunkenness your lover? Are you willing to forsake your drunkenness and turn to God, yield yourself to God through His Son Jesus Christ, that you might be saved, reconciled to God? Maybe your lover today is sodomy, I don't know. There's a lot of lovers of that going about in the world today. Is that your lover? Are you willing to forsake that lover? Are you willing to turn from that lover and abandon yourself, yield yourself to God through His Son, Jesus Christ? Maybe perhaps your lover, is idolatry, religious idolatry. Any religion contrary to the Word of God, to the Bible, that is. Yeah, some of it, Protestantism, Neo-Pentecostalism, Charismania. then of course you got the whole nine yards, you know. You got all your world religions, Islam, Roman Catholicism, Buddhism, Confucianism, religious idolatry. The world yet abounds with it. That your lover today, forsaking your lovers. What's your lover today? Is that your lover? Idolatry? Turn from it. Forsake your lover and turn from it to God, to the living and true God, through His Son Jesus Christ. Yield yourself to Him and His salvation. Because reception, you see, that's yielding yourself to God, on which God demands, it's a resignation, you know. It's a yielding, a devoting of yourself to God, you know. Everything, yourself too, laid at the Savior's feet, self-abandonment, without which you cannot be God's disciple. But to get to that place of yielding, to get that place of self-resignation, but you need the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God you get there. This is all a gift, everything. Everything, the Word of God did not come to us by the will of man, the Bible tells us. Salvation does not come to us by the will of man. A man is not born again by the will of man. None of it, nothing of it, comes from the will of man, yours, mine, or anybody else's. From God. From the grace of God. God has a great big reservoir of grace. And out of that reservoir of grace comes all this goodness and kindness. All this mercy. This gospel even. This good news. The giving of His Son Jesus Christ. To die on a cross. To shed His blood that you might be washed and made clean. To rise again from the dead that you might be justified before. Made right before God. And that you might have new and everlasting life. All out of the fountain. The source is God's grace. And so too is the faith, the believing. So too is the repentance. Everything. You've got to forsake all and get the grace of God on your knees with an open Bible, crying out to God that He would have mercy upon you, upon your precious soul, and that He might by His grace enable you to yield yourself to God, that the fierceness of His wrath might be turned away from you. Because we're all under a universal condemnation. Condemnation of God's law. Every man, woman and child in this world, conceived in sin, born in sin, therefore children of wrath, a universal. It's common to all men. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody, all under that condemnation of God, the wrath of God. Why do you consider these things? You know what God says about you personally, and this is you personally, believe me. You know, well, it ought to convict you, it ought to humble you. It ought to bring you to that place of humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due season. Well, if He so pleases. But you see, the world, humanity. You wonder why? You get all the trouble. You wonder why? This shooting in Christchurch. You know, in New Zealand today. You know, what's a man? Why does a man do something like that? Because he's a sinner. Because a wicked-hearted sinner, that's why. That's where it comes from. But that's where your evils come from too. You ain't no better. The commandment is, thou shalt not kill. Every time you've been angry, you're guilty of murder. You ever been angry with somebody? Maybe road rage, you know, when you've been driving. You ever got the road rage? Well, that's again the commandment, thou shalt not kill. That's where murder, that's where it begins, the anger in the heart. And it's common to us all, not just the shooter in New Zealand. It's common to every one of us. We're all murderers because we've all been angry with somebody else for no given reason. So you see, friends, humanity is just a pool, it's just a package of apostate men and women steeped in wickedness, destroying one another. We've all hit the self-destruct button, and that will be the end, eternal, everlasting destruction, unless the wrath of God is turned away from us by the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The only remedy, and the only commodity, I say, the only commodity that the wrath of God will answer to, nothing else will shift it but the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed for sinners under the wrath of God. So consider, if you will, please, as I present the truth to you, consider, will you please, how that you have been stiff-necked, stubborn and defiant against your Maker. How you hated your Maker, a God-hating man, woman, walking through God's world and universe, breathing His air, and He, the judge, is standing at the door. I ask you, how clever, how sensible is that? Not very. Not very. Soon you're going to make it. Soon you're going to meet your Maker. It's appointed unto man once to die. Somewhere or another, cancer, heart attack, a shooter, a terrorist, somewhere or another is coming down the line. It's appointed, divinely appointed, for man once to die. After that, well, you're before the judge. Immediately, death, your physical death, will open the judge's chamber right into his presence immediately to be judged and dispatched into either a lost eternity or an eternity with God in Jesus Christ. So this yielding that God requires of you is a yielding of yourself to His Son, His only begotten, the divine Son of God, born, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, under the condemnation of the law. It's what He came for, what He was sent for, and what He accomplished. God, in sending His Son, accomplished what the law could never do. What you could never do, what religion could never do, what the philosophies of men could never do, what only God Himself in Christ can do. Yielding in repentance and faith yourself to the Son of God, He who died on the cross for sinners. But it's yield. Yield or die. Die, that is, in your sin. Lost eternity. You come into the world, conceived, born in sin. You arrive in a state of death. You arrive in a state of death, live in a state of death, and die the physical death, and then it continues throughout all eternity. Everlasting, death forever, nothing but death, never to have known life, never. Never to have known life. Jesus came that you might have life, and that you might have it abundantly, in the way that is of repentance and faith towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, defiant sinners, reconciled to God. by his son Jesus Christ, no other way. So friends, Bible tells me he's coming. Jesus Christ coming again. But this time not as a little bitty baby, not born in a cattle shed, but coming with his holy angels in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all that know not God and who obey not the gospel, who obey not the command of God. Be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourself that the fierceness of God's wrath might be turned away from you. You obey the call, you obey the command, and you get life, you get salvation, you get safety in that day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness, safe as safe can be. But reject the command, reject the salvation, neglect the salvation. How can you escape if you neglect such great salvation? Answer: you cannot. It's logical. One way only. And that's not your way. So I bid you today, that stiff-neckedness, you know, that defiance, that stubbornness, bring it to the cross. Bring it to Jesus. Ask him to take it away. Ask him to melt it. Ask him to soften you. Ask him by his grace to bring you to that place of yielding to himself, trusting, turning from sin, turning from your lovers, the sins in your life, turning from them and turning to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to love him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Do you love Jesus? That's the bottom line. Remember that old song that we used to sing? To know him is to love him. If you don't love him, you don't know him. And if you don't know him, well, in that day, when he comes to judge you, you're going to be in serious trouble. You need to know him. In relationship, that is. In a loving relationship which issues in obedience to his commandments. If you love me, obey my commandments, says Jesus. You don't obey him. You don't know him. You don't know him. You don't love him. The one, my friends, who came and lived and loved and died that you might be one with him and with God for time and for eternity. So in God's word, so again, it's offered to you quite freely. You're simply for the taking. Word of God, New Testament, in its entirety offered to you freely. You're simply for the taking. Word of God, salvation. Read, study, meditate long and hard until you get it, till you understand it, till the penny drops, till the Spirit of God falls upon you and gives you that enlightenment that you need in order to turn and yield yourself to your Maker through his Son Jesus Christ. Like to have a copy of God's Word offered to you freely. Words of Jesus, you can read them yourself. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Stafford. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Do you get it? Like a copy of God's Word, come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy. Mercy upon your precious, never die.